All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be speaking with an individual set to headline Absolute MMA 3, which transpires on May the 27th, and a very intriguing welterweight bout as Roman Cordoba takes on Ramil Kamilov, and always good having Ramil on the show. How's your day going there, man?
It's good, man. You caught me during fight week, so I'm in a little bit of a different mode than the other interviews we've done. Yeah,
and I mean, maybe a bit of a nebulous, hard-to-describe question, but how would you differentiate your mindset now as compared to some of our previous talks?
I'm numb to all emotions except aggression right now, and violence. All I'm looking forward to on Saturday.
Yeah, very excited to get into that, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't at least touch on the last one, because you were able to secure a W since the last time we spoke, getting that, you know, second round finish over Lee Hagel at Unified MMA 50 and everything like that. Like, what were your main takeaways from that fight there? That seemed to be a pretty comprehensive win there.
The biggest thing I learned from that fight is just to have better head position when I'm grappling, in the style of grappling that I do. I don't really, jiu-jitsu guys nowadays, my grappling is, it's not really jiu-jitsu style. I don't know how to describe it. It's closer to Habib style and the type of grappling those guys do out there. So belts and jiu-jitsu stuff, I always talked, even in my amateur days, about being jiu-jitsu for MMA kind of style, as opposed to just straight jiu-jitsu was how I grapple. But now it's become something completely different. And that's why belt rankings don't really matter to me. For example, this guy, Roman Cordoba, is a purple belt in jiu-jitsu, so am I, but I feel we're not equal in that sense.
Just because of how you've integrated your jiu-jitsu into MMA as compared to maybe how he's done so?
It's not even jiu-jitsu that I use. It's just grappling. I don't see it as jiu-jitsu, what I do to guys in the cage.
And do you think this was just like a natural kind of change, like just how your grappling style has, I guess, sort of evolved, or I guess maybe taken on a different shape might be the better way to say it? Like, was this a specific, like, conscious redirection of your style, and what prompted that? I mean, obviously that Dagestan style is very successful, so maybe just, you know, going off of that, or does it more work within your game or body type, or can you give some insights into that?
I've been studying that style quite a bit, and I feel like it's one of my main weapons right now that many other people lack. I feel this guy definitely has not seen anything, so he has not felt anything like the pressure that I bring in the grappling game. And furthermore, he's mainly a boxer, but he's fought mostly on all of his fights on the Mexican regional scene, and their boxing is very different from what I bring to the table. So he's he hasn't seen someone fight the way I fight. My boxing is very Eastern European style, post-Soviet, Ukrainian, and Kazakhstan boxing style. I'm a lot longer than most of his opponents that seem to be mostly hook heavy, as he is himself. He's got good speed, he's got power, that's something to be wary of, but I feel like I am better than him in every aspect of the game. The closest aspects of the game where we're closest is his cardio, his grit, and his boxing. You know, I gotta watch out for his power and his speed. He can clip me, like even Shawn Michaels clipped me one time. It took me half a millisecond to readjust to that and rethink my game plan a little bit, and then I was pushing forward. This guy can hit me as well. He's got power. You know, there's always the off chance of a lucky punch, but other than that, I'm better than him everywhere, and especially my grappling. And my grappling, you know, that's the biggest difference in our games.
I mean, based on how you're breaking this down, it seems like you've done a fair bit of tape study on your opponent. Is that a fair characterization?
This guy, I've done actually, he's got more fights than any of the other guys I fought, but I've done less tape study than my other guys. I got Mike Smalls from Impact Boxing. You know, he does breakdowns of my opponents, scouting reports and stuff. So he sent me a real good long list of what this guy does. But from what I saw, you know, I watched two of his fights, and I see what he is. I don't see him as a very intelligent fighter. This guy has 20 pro fights, but he fights every month, every 2 months, every few weeks. So that's not enough time to truly reflect on your wins and losses and your fights and grow from them. And it shows it in his record. It takes 2 months, 3 months, 4 months to fully soak in your last fight and learn from it. Sometimes it can take a year even. And I feel like this guy isn't rewatching his fights that much. And he says he's learning from his losses, but I doubt he is.
I guess kind of within that context, because like I was saying before, your last fight at Unified MMA 50 was a comprehensive one and a relatively quick turnaround, just in as far as it's like around a couple months after the fact. Was that a performance where you felt like, I guess, like the knowledge retention allowed for like that quicker turnaround, I guess?
There wasn't much to learn from that fight. I came in, I didn't get hit once that fight, so I wasn't... the armbar, I was in a little bit of trouble there, but other than that, there really isn't that much to take away from that performance. It's almost a negative in that people know that I can grapple now. They didn't really know that before.
Yeah, well, I guess that's something that's pretty cool, just something they've been diligently working on, and then I guess being able to show it off in a live competition. But also cool that this is going to be the second fight under that absolute MMA banner after, you know, being on their inaugural show. Like, how does it feel to kind of be back there, and also specifically just kind of being in that, like, you know, Calgary area more so again?
Yeah, I love fighting at home. Deerfoot and Casino, we're fighting. It's only a few blocks away from me. Because I'm the main event, I don't like to chill around the warm-up room for too long. I like to come in, warm up, and go. I don't like to hang out there, so I can just drive over home, take a nap, and then show up and fight. So that's a really good thing about fighting at home. Of course, the home crowd, but the crowd never affected me that much. Either way, whether they're booing or they're cheering, fight's a fight. It doesn't really tend to mess with me.
And I love that venue too. Like, there's something about it. There's kind of like a almost like pressure cooker sort of vibe, and as far as just like the dimensions and the crowd being right in there. So yeah, cool that it's at that venue too. Would probably lend for like a pretty like raucous kind of crowd, I would imagine.
Yeah. Deerfoot, I've had some fun times there.
Yeah, no doubt, as have I. Definitely a great venue for sure. But you know, speaking to like the Calgary area aspects, I would imagine you're still getting in a lot of that great Champions Creed work. Is that still the case, large in part?
Yeah, Champions Creed is it's always growing. It's always getting better. At the moment, you know, we really have good training partners. It's grown since the last year, so our pro team is getting really good, and I'm getting all sorts of different looks. There's very little things I'm lacking in Calgary right now. It makes it almost no reason for me to go anywhere else. You know, like I said in the last interview, the reason I go to Vegas is to get different sparring partners, different looks. But I got guys, you know, co-main event of our fight card, Mac Lorson, world-class striker. You know, I can get rounds in with a longer than me world-class striker fighting. We got a new Ukrainian guy who's got over 20 pro fights with a winning record. We got all sorts of different looks that I'm getting at Champions Creed that I don't really need to go elsewhere at the moment.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking as you were talking about the gym growing. Like, obviously good for the gym and the owners and just, you know, the collective expanding. But I would think that that provides, yeah.
For the city, too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a great fight town, I think. So awesome to, you know, see that aspect of it. But I would think that that would provide the great individual benefit for you. And I mean, it very much sounds like that's the case from what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, and I mean, probably a hard question to answer, just like with the expansiveness of the team, like maybe you don't want to leave anyone out, but are there like certain, I guess, regular sparring or training partners you've been working with ahead of this particular fight?
Ahead of this particular fight, no one specific, just the entire team.
Yeah, well, love to hear that collective dynamic, just everybody, you know, lifting each other up and everything. And I'm kind of curious, just with like the last, you know, couple fights, or I mean, I'm including this one in terms of like the couple fights, just being at welterweight, like is that looking like maybe the new division? Because I know you competed against Shawn Michaels at lightweight. Are you looking to maybe, I guess, stake your claim as a welterweight going forward, or maybe even concurrently go back and forth between the divisions depending on the opportunity?
Yeah, the latter, I think. You know, lightweight's still my division, but sometimes I just don't want to cut to welterweight. I'm still a 55er, and so is my opponent. It's just nice to not cut weight.
Yeah, and maybe
to the big show, God willing, I will definitely be fighting at 55, though. I know I'm world-class at 155, you know. If I get to the UFC, you know, I feel at the point that the bottom half of the UFC, I'm as good as anyone there right now, and I'm only going to get better by the time I'm in there. You know, I'm going to be a real problem in that weight class.
So, yeah, I mean, you kind of touched on it there. Like, for you, Big Show represents UFC. Like, maybe you're not entertaining some of the other, I guess, sizable leagues out there. Like, obviously, the UFC is a great league for sure, but that's, like, what you're specifically eyeing as, like, an ideal next step, I suppose.
Considering my age right now, I'm 25, well, I'm about to turn 26, and my record and experience, I think UFC is the move for me, but I've got to change this guy's life forever first in 2 days.
And I mean, it seems like they're getting back to, you know, checking out Canada at the very least. Like, I mean, they've got that pay-per-view card coming up relatively soon, but also getting certain guys on the Contender Series circuit. Like, I was just kind of seeing Matteo Vogel got a spot there. Is Contender Series something you'd be interested in at all? I mean, like you said, you're focused on this next one, but could that hold intrigue for you?
Yeah, initially I was not really entertaining Contender Series and wanted to sign direct, but it looks like they switched up the format of their contracts a little bit to be a bit more favorable to us fighters. So yes, I am looking at Contender Series.
I guess maybe I haven't seen those particular changes. Like, what have they shifted in the contracts, like, nowadays as compared to maybe how they were before that you weren't necessarily digging as much?
From the info that was given to me, they were signing people to 6 to 8 fight contracts with 10 and 10 to start and $2,000 increase every win. But you'd be locked into a 6 to 8 fight contract before you renegotiate. I think it's back down to a 4 fight contract now.
Yeah, I mean, that's far more reasonable and gives a sense of upward mobility, because, I mean, we've seen it in the sport with certain fighters. I mean, you could entirely, you know, change the momentum / general public perception of where you're at inside of like 3 or 4 fights. So glad to hear that seems to be the case.
Yeah, you know, I'm happy with the changes that are being made.
And you've always struck me as a guy that's pretty like savvy towards more of like the business kind of aspects of the game and stuff like that. Is that something that you just kind of have, I guess, an innate ability to kind of navigate? Do you have maybe people that are in almost like advisor kind of roles helping you with that? Like, can you maybe describe that?
Yeah, well, I've always been an entrepreneur, so to speak, since I was in high school. The people that grew up with me know all about that. And then even now, you know, I try to make money everywhere with everything that I do, outside of fighting as well. I do have, as an advisor, you know, my coach is really good at seeing this fight game as a business. You know, you can see it. You can be a fighter's fighter, which I have that in me. You know, I do want to find the challenges, and, you know, I just want to scrap. But my coach keeps me level-headed sometimes and picks the right opportunities for me. And same with my management. Yeah.
I was going to say you were an entrepreneur as a younger lad and you were getting in like the different street fight tournaments and stuff like that. It sounds like an interesting childhood.
That wasn't a paid thing. That was making me a fighter's fighter.
But yeah, I appreciate you making time to chat as always, man. I guess one of the last things I kind of wanted to touch on, because you were talking about how you're looking to, change this guy's life forever and everything. Like, are you a guy that visualizes specific outcomes in your fights? And if so, is there a predominant visualization for this one?
I don't care how this ends. I just want it to begin, man. That's all.
Yeah, I love the quality of that thought. Definitely excited for this one and everything. But, curious if there's maybe a final parting thought you might want to add as we're kind of wrapping up here, Ramil.
No, there's nothing I can think of. There's nothing left but to get in there, and I can't wait.
Yeah, it's only a couple days out now on May the 27th, and should be a great one at Absolute MMA 3, and yeah, anyone in the immediate Calgary area should definitely check that out. Like we're saying, great venue, and seems like a great card from what I can tell. But, thanks again for the time, Ramil. Good to, have you on, as always, and hopefully you have a good rest of your night, man. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Dylan.